It was 10 years ago today, John Lennon, former Beatle, husband of Yoko Ono, father of Sean and Julian, was leaving his apartment building on New York's Upper West Side. A man approached. He had a gun. He shot John Lennon and killed him. For those of us of a certain age, it signaled an end of something we couldn't even fully articulate, our youth, an era, a period of time that seemed magical in the beginning, but kept twisting and turning in ways we never had anticipated. It all seemed to start with John Lennon and the Beatles, their brash, funny ways, their music that now seems so innocent. And as they changed, so did we. And Lennon always was one step ahead, with his music, with his politics, with his decision to turn inward, to stay at home and raise a son. And he was always articulate about what he was doing and why. He gave many interviews during his lifetime to reporters all over the world. Producer Barrett Golding has sifted through some of them. He discovered that though the tapes are sometimes noisy, Lennon's message is clear.
What do you want out of life most of all now, John?
Peace, you know. Really, that's all I want.
If anything happened to you, how would you like people to remember you?
As the great peacenicks.
That before your music?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
All we are saying is give peace a chance.
Give peace a chance, folks. Give chance a peace. Give peace a chance.
Back in 69, July the 4th, the Plastic Ono Band single Give Peace a Chance, which was number two in Britain, and I think it's still regarded by a great number of people as being a bit of a classic. Refresh our memories as to why you put that particular song together, because you've fought for a lot of causes, haven't you, the both of you, over the years?
Yeah, we first did the bed-in in Amsterdam. And the point of the bed-in, in a nutshell, was a commercial for peace as opposed to a commercial for war, which was on the news every day those days, and the newspapers every day was dismembered bodies and napalm. And we thought, well, why don't they have something nice in the newspapers, that old thing, you know? And anyway, we did the bed-in. What the bed-in was 7 days, because the press were always asking questions. 7 days of they can ask anything, no secrets, you know? No time limit, like, you know, you come in, take the photographs, then the photographers go away, and then the press are allowed 10 minutes to ask. This was, you come in as long as you like, till you've got everything you need to know about John and Yoko, or what we stand for, or what we are.
Hello, John.
Hello.
I hope we didn't wake you up.
No, I've been awake for a bit.
John, what are you doing over in Amsterdam, in bed?
I'm holding a protest, you know. A protest against violence. Most of the newspaper coverages of the marches in England have just been about the violence between the police and a few people, you know. Never came across. But the whole thing's got a bit too serious and a bit too intellectual, you know. And it's all going towards violence, and we're just staging this protest as a protest against all forms of violence, even from the protesters, you know.
Two, one, two, three, four!
One of the most hysterical moments was the first day when Don Short and all the gang and Donald Zeck and all them, they were fighting like crazy. We were sitting in the, you know, Amsterdam Hilton in the bed like two little kids, you know, with all the posters on the wall.
Flower children.
Flower kids or whatever. These guys were sweating to fight to get in first because they thought we were going to be making love in bed, you see. That's where their minds
How could
were
they
at.
Think
because
that,
we'd be naked,
yeah,
bed, right. John and Yoko, sex. So anyway, we did it again. We tried to do it in New York. But the American government wouldn't let us in. They knew we'd done it in Amsterdam, and they didn't want any peaceniks here. But we ended up doing it in Montreal instead, and broadcasting across the border. You see, and there was live riots at Berkeley at the bed-in in Amsterdam. But after answering all these questions many times, it got down to all we were saying was give peace a chance. Not we have any formula or communism or socialism will answer it or any ism could answer it. We didn't have a format. We couldn't give you a plan.
But just sit down.
But just consider the idea of not having this war. Just consider it. So that's what, in a nutshell, we were saying. So we recorded it in the bedroom of the Montreal Hilton or whatever hotel we were in.
On an 8-track machine, which you had brought up to the room, I gather.
Up to the room, yeah, and there was like Tommy Smothers and Tim Leary and Dick Gregg and old people sort of clapping along and singing on the chorus. And if you hear the record, it's funny, actually, because my rhythm sense has always been a bit wild. And halfway through it, I got on the on-beat instead of the back-beat, and it was hard because all there was non-musicians playing along with us. So I had to put a lot of tape echo to double up the beat to keep a steady beat right through the whole record, so it goes boom-boom, boom-boom, instead of bap, bap.
I'm interested in expressing myself, producing something that means something to people in any country, in any language, and at any time in history. And rock just happens to be the media which I was born into. That's all, it was the one.
And this is Johnny Rhythm just saying good night to you all, and God bless you.
Like endless rain into a paper cup, they slither wildly as they slip away across the universe.
Do all the songs that you write or have written in the past, John, have a message?
Well, I think in that way, every song will have a message, you know. I don't sit down and say, what's today's message, you know. I'm either writing about something that happened, you know, I'm either writing about what's going on in the world or what's happening to me, basically.
Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world.
Well, John, I believe you've written a book, and this book's called John Lennon in His Own Right, folks. John Lennon in His Own Right, W-R-I-T, you see, it's a laugh. It's a laugh a minute with John Lennon. Some of you might find it a bit difficult to understand because, you see, it's in a sort of funny lingo. Well, we get it, you see, it's full of laughs, and I don't really know how you could describe it, but it's sort of rubbish. Maybe that's one way.
Once upon a time, there were two balloons called Jock and Yono. They were strictly in love, bound to happen in a million years. They were together, man. Unfortunate timetable, they seem to have previous experience, which kept calling them one way or another. You know how it is. But they battled on against overwhelming oddities, including some of their beast friends. Being in love, they clung together even more, man, but some of the poisonous monster of outdated busload hip throwers did stick slightly, and they occasionally had to resort to the dry cleaners. Luckily, this did not kill them, and they weren't banned from the Olympic Games. They lived hopefully ever after, and who could blame them?
The pun, onomatopoeia, the changing...
What?
That's a long word. I'll tell you, onomatopoeia is, you know, when, like,
that's
buzz.
That's three words I've heard today.
You know, when I say a word like buzz, in the word is capture the noise of the bee. That's onomatopoeia. Your book is full of them, you know what I mean?
Is it? Well, I'm glad to know that. Lots of onomatopoeias. Automatic peer, sounds like to me. That's probably why I'd change words, because I haven't a clue what words mean after that.
So this is a natural facility, really?
Yes, it's a sort of native talent, you'd call it, I think. There was no barriers between music, poetry, painting, art as communication, and communication as art.
The Beatles appeared once more on Top Gear in November 1964 to preview the songs on Beatles for Sale and to promote both sides of their new single.
I'm a loser, I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be. Of all the love I have won or have lost, one love I should never have crossed. She was a girl in a million, my friend. I should have known she would win in the end. I'm a loser, and I lost someone who's near to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be.
It's just natural. It's not a great disaster. People keep talking about it as if it's the end of the earth. It's only a rock group that split up. It's nothing important.
Before we hear another song, fellas, there are a few things I'd like to ask you. First of all, do you ever get tired of being Beatles?
I told people 20 years ago, whenever it was, I'm not going to be singing She Loves You when I'm 30. I was 30 last year, and it was then when I broke the band up, or I decided to leave. I don't know when they decided to leave. Whatever, that's when it happened.
Is there anybody going to listen to my story, all about the girl who came to stay?
That was it. The old gang was over the moment they met her. You know that song?
Yeah.
Those wedding bells are breaking up that old gang of mine. I didn't consciously know it at the time, but that's what was going on. As soon as I met her, that was the end of the boys. And it just so happened the boys were well known and weren't just the local guys at the bar. These were guys that everybody else knew, but it was the same thing. You know, that's all over for that. But then everybody got so upset about it and angry, but we were so involved in each other, we just went and made the records and did bed-ins and sort of blasted our way through it.
Went to bed with this guy that I liked, and suddenly the next morning I see these three guys standing and with resentful eyes, you know. I mean, three relatives suddenly appearing, you know. So it was incredible.
Not the bully Beatles. Let's have no more Beatles, Christianity or Bob Dylan, okay? Let's make that, you know, it all becomes the same thing, right?
I don't believe in Beatles. Just believe in me.
Nobody controls me. I'm uncontrollable. The only one that can control me is me, and that's just barely possible. But that's what life is about. So for all you folks out there who think you know me or you have some part of me because of the music, and then you think that I'm being controlled like a dog on a leash because I do things with her, then screw you. I'm not here for you, I'm here for me and her, and now the baby.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy.
Well, I would say I'm baking bread, you know. And they say, ha, what are you really doing?
Yeah.
I said, well, I'm looking after the baby. No, but what else do you do?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, are you kidding? Because, yeah, and there were no secret projects in the basement because bread and babies, as every housewife everywhere knows, is a full-time job.
Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans.
The joy is still there when I see Sean. You know, he didn't come out my belly, but my God, this, you know, I made his bones because I attended to every meal. And the fact that he swims like a fish is because I took him to the Y, I took him to the ocean, and I'm so proud of all those. He is my biggest pride.
All the little boys and girls living in this crazy world. All they really need from you is maybe some love.
I don't have any hankering to be looked upon as a sex object. Male rock and roll singer. I like to look good and I like to be attractive, and you know, I enjoy the macho part of rock, but I don't have any need to be the idol. I like it to be known that yes, she kicked me out. It took me a long time to get back in, and yeah, I looked after the baby and I made the bread and I was a house husband, and let them understand that, you know, and I'm proud of it, and it's the wave of the future, you know. And I'm glad to be in on the forefront of that too. And I'm interested in ourselves, the family, and making some music and trying to make something that we are proud of.
Dream. That's the Beatles story, isn't it? That's Yoko's story. That's what I'm saying now.
That not to put it on leaders and parking meters. Don't expect Carter or Reagan or John Lennon or Yoko Ono or Bob Dylan or Jesus Christ to come and do it for you. You have to do it yourself.
following is not what it's about, but leaving messages of this is what's happening to us, hey, what's happening to you, sending postcards and letters is what we do.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone.
Well, do you have any special thoughts for Christmas?
Well, Yoko, it is Christmas, and my special thoughts, of course, turn towards eating.
All right, so eating. Well, what do you like to eat?
Well, I'd like some cornflakes prepared by Parisian hands, and I'd like it blessed by Hare Krishna mantras.
Take two!
That is good. That's part of our policy. It's not to be taken seriously, because I think our opposition, whoever they may be in all their manifest forms, don't know how to handle humour, you know, and we are humorists. We are, what are they, Laurel and Hardy, that's John and Yoko, and we stand a better chance under that guise, because all the serious people like Martin Luther King and Kennedy and Gandhi got shot. I'd like to live to ripe old age with Yoko only, you know. And I'm not afraid of dying. I don't know how I'd feel at the moment, but I'm prepared for death because I don't believe in it. I think it's just getting out of one car and getting into another.
Drove from Paris to the Amsterdam Hilton. Talking in our beds for a week. The news people said, say what you're doing in bed. I said, we're only trying to get us some peace.
We used to say, well, we want to do a commercial for peace on the front page of the papers instead of a commercial for war. And the reporters have gone, But it didn't matter what the reporter said, because our commercial went out irrespective.
That's right.
I mean, they were saying funny things about us, but that wasn't the point. The commercial went out anyway.
A lot of people also feel that if everyone goes to bed and stays in bed for a week or a few days for peace, as a protest for peace, that the whole country will come to a standstill.
Well, wouldn't it be better than producing arms and bombs? Imagine if the American army stayed in bed for a week and the Vietnamese army, or Nixon and Kosygin and Chairman Mao. Imagine it if the whole world stayed in bed. There'd be peace for a week and they might get to feel what it was like. The tension would be released.
You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. Someday you'll join us. And the world will be as one.
We both have visions of a quaint little cottage by the seashore, and us looking at our old movies and saying, remember the bed in, and the world will be peaceful. And if the world isn't peaceful when we die, if world peace isn't a reality when we die, we'll probably be back to try again. We'll have to keep doing it till we get it, you know. So we'll be back.
Oh, I know I'll never lose affection for people and things that went before. I know I'll often stop and think about them.
And for this evening, that's All Things Considered.
Our Remembrance of John Lennon was produced by Barrett Golding at KGLT in Bozeman, Montana. Archive tape courtesy of the BBC, the CBC, Group W Productions, Chicago's Museum of Broadcast Communications, Rolling Stone Magazine, Polydor Records, and the Westwood One Radio Network's Lost Lennon Tapes.
Our editor is Robert Rand. The director is Jane Greenhalgh.
All Things Considered is produced by Dan Collison with help from William Troop, Eve Kufferman, George Achaves, Marie Spark, and Key Molesky.
The technical director is Jason Stelluto. Audio engineers are Leo Delagula, Michael Cullen, Tom Carpenter, and Linda Mack. I'm Lynn Neary.
And this is Emil Guillermo. Good evening for All Things Considered.